At least 38 cloud service providers are now compliant with the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, up 41% in the past 6 months. Initial estimates show at least 700 cloud systems meet FedRAMP standards. The General Services Administration knows, though, there is a gap between what agencies and vendors report and what they're actually using. Matt Goodrich is FedRAMP Director at the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies at GSA and wants to hear more about what's working as agencies move to the cloud. Matt, I was struck by comments that you made at the ATARC event not long ago, where you were saying what I've been saying for a long time, not just about cybersecurity and cloud, but about government in general. Tell us your success stories. What motivated you to want to prompt agencies to talk more about the successes they're having in the cloud? Thanks for your time today, Matt.
No, thanks for having me on. You know, I think it's funny. I enjoy all of our conversations that we have, Francis, but I want you guys to have some other people tell some of their side of the story too and not just always hear it from me. And so it's been one of those where I look around some of these conferences and things and think, I know people who are doing awesome work. Why aren't other people getting out there and sharing it so it's not the same story over and over? And that's what we're trying to do with, you know, the recent release of our updates and things like that, is to really try and tell the story and push others out there to share all the good work the government's doing. Because so much out there, we hear sort of the bad stories and the bad things that are happening in government. And there's also a lot of great work that's going on out there. And I want to get other people out there to sort of tell that story too.
You've talked about the special snowflake concept, and I've talked about it on the show. And I wonder if part of that might be what's holding people back, where somebody convinces themselves that my agency's different than everybody else. And so since I'm unique, everybody else is probably unique too. So maybe the mindset is, well, I probably wouldn't have anything to say that somebody else could use.
You know, I think that was it probably at the very beginning. And I think what we're trying to do is help everyone realize that particularly with cloud, they aren't unique because they're using a cloud service. They're using a common platform that they're making work for them and that other agencies can use in the same way. So that everyone's used to being a special snowflake, as you know, that analogy that I've used. But again, when you're using a common platform, particularly with cloud, you are using something that's common to everyone else that other people can use. And so it makes it that much more important that people realize that while they're special, like their mom always told them, they're also special in a way that everyone else can use the same service and realize the same benefits and same, you know, aspects of cloud that they've been using at their agency.
I love the graphic that you've put out, the FedRAMP Forward graphic that you've put out, and I have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. I do note a bit of irony that it's called FedRAMP Forward, a look back at the last 6 months. But you have a lot here to be proud of, and there's a good story here to tell. $70 million in cost avoidance.
Yeah. You know, we've quoted for probably the last 18 months that our first estimate was roughly $40 million in cost avoidance. And we tried to really go back and see who's using the cloud and create a baseline of use. And there's not a good source for that. And so to really have good savings estimates or cost avoidance estimates, we didn't know what people were using. So we created that first baseline, which I still think is a good starting point, but not a completely accurate baseline. But even with that, we're saying there's over 80 cloud providers being used across the government with over 1,400 instances. And when we apply that to, you know, the rough estimates of what it costs to do a security authorization, that's on average roughly $70 million that we're doing in cost avoidance through the reuse of those authorizations themselves. And the other thing important to note is that's not $70 million total. That's $70 million per year. So that number is going to go up as we continue to maintain these authorizations and continue to reuse them. It's a number that's going to go up, but it's also a number that's avoided every year due to the program.
I see here, too, the concept of feedback is something vendors were curious when FedRAMP program rolled out what was going to happen regarding communications on an ongoing basis between government and industry on the program, what changes would happen in the program, and so on. I see here received and acted on over 1,000 comments in regard to high baseline, 300 comments in relation to tick overlay, requesting comments on 3PAO requirements through August 20th. What kind of feedback, by the way, are you getting on the 3PAO requirements?
You know, most people don't give us the comments until about the hour before it's due. But what we've heard so far from our providers that, you know, we did do a little bit of baselining of the comments before we put it out for full wide public comment, basically from our agencies, from some of our 3PAOs, and really tried to align what we heard from them and put them in there. So far we haven't heard any major, what are you doing? This is crazy, which typically happens within the first few days. So we're really excited to see what comes in, but also typically without having that, I'm hopeful that means the comments we get back are basically aligned with what we were thinking and saying, hey, this is really the direction the program should be going in.
You spoke recently and gave a garden hose versus tennis bracelet analogy that's applicable here. Share that with the folks that are listening to us right now.
Sure. The analogy is, I think when we look at data across the government and security, I think we need to take a bit of a view on it with sort of physical assets. And looking at data in that same perspective. And so when agencies are looking at how they can move things to the cloud, they should really be caring about what they are paranoid about. And so if you think about a garden hose that you have at your house, most people have that garden hose hooked up in the front of their house year round. They don't lock it up every night, put it in the garage and put it in a safe. But the diamond tennis bracelet that someone bought their wife for their 20-year marriage anniversary, that is locked up in a safe in the bottom of the closet covered in a bunch of sweaters when it's not being worn. So we need to think about data in the same way in the federal government of what is it that we're truly paranoid about, that if it got accessed or was taken, that we'd be really worried about and it would have a significant impact. But that those that aren't, we need to be pushing that out there and realizing better efficiencies than just using the traditional status quo.
I am struck by the positive development, I think, that people are, at least maybe it's slower than you'd probably like, but that conversation is starting to happen, Matt, and people are starting to think about their data not as one big amorphous blob, but as categories of information and thinking about how they should then store it and secure it in the way that you're suggesting.
Right. I think it's really leading. I think the cloud's helped with that a lot because there are a lot of times where agencies, you know, you want to go through and prototype things or develop things, and doing a sandbox environment in your traditional, you know, data center is really expensive and hard to set up. You can go out to a cloud provider and set that up within minutes many times, and you're not dealing with real federal data. You're dealing in a pilot mode or developing something that doesn't need to have all the security that you would have if it was an operational system. So being able to look at what you're functionally doing and what data you're actually using, I think is really important to think about those services that you actually need and that sort of hybrid model around how agencies are using IT and where data resides within that IT is really sort of being promulgated by the use of the cloud.
I mentioned the graphic that describes the six-month successes that you've had through FedRAMP Forward. What should we be watching for in the coming 6 months for this program, Matt?
So one of the things we're most excited about, which we put on that infographic, is a challenge that we're going to be putting out. And a challenge is basically a competition, a prize competition. And the beginning process of FedRAMP is one of the lengthiest parts of the process where it's really difficult for providers to make sure that they have adequate documentation and things like that. And so we want to create an automated tool that the cloud providers, agencies, and we can actually use to automate that review process to make sure everything's there before we begin the process to make it even faster. So we're going to have about $250,000 prize for that and hopefully have a few different options that come out of that that would really sort of make that speed to market and speed to authorization even faster. We think that this automation could reduce some of the time frames from like 50 to 90%. We're really looking to see some agents, some people in industry actually help us create that.
What's the essence of that desired outcome of having that tool that caused you to decide to do that as a competition through challenge.gov rather than a standard procurement?
You know, to be frank, I think government a lot of times thinks that, you know, we do our traditional methods of developing things. And I think we want to do something innovative with open source and making sure it's available to everyone. And I also believe in competition. I believe that if people are out there working against someone else, they'll create a better product. And we'd like to have more than one. So we'd like to see what other people can create. I don't think our team always has the absolute best ideas. I think the collective of the community does. We'd like to see what other people have out there for ideas on how to do this. We have basically a goal of what we want to see, and I want to see what people can provide us and what we can actually, how we can do that more effectively.
Well, I would love to have you come back and talk about the results that you get from that competition. That means, I imagine, it won't be 6 months. What's your timeline for that?
We expect it to be out within the next 3 to 6 months, and so you're probably looking at roughly 6 to 9 months until six to nine months, maybe 12 max, but within a year, absolutely, it'll be out. I'm hoping it's more like 6 to 9 months to have it actually out and functional and able to use.